Alright, welcome to the Squib Load Podcast.
Squib Load, everybody. I'm Sean.
I'm Case.
And today we're going to talk about something pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Pretty cool. So this is another special episode. We did the IRA stuff last episode, and I kind of like doing the little one-offs where we talk about like a big topic and then branch off into small stuff after that. So this week we're going to be talking about a really cool thing that happened in the 90s called the North Hollywood Shootout. And I love the North Hollywood Shootout. This is the coolest thing ever. If you like guns, you need to know about this.
Changed a couple things.
It's actually, so even if you don't care about guns, this is very important.
Changed a lot of laws.
A lot of laws, and then also like law enforcement, massively affected by this incident.
Now they're a fucking militia because of this shit.
Yeah, so just as a brief overview, the North Hollywood Shootout was a shootout between two bank robbers and roughly 200 police officers in the LAPD. Mm-hmm. So this is like a really big deal. It was in 1997.
44 minutes.
The shootout lasted 44 minutes, and I forget the exact numbers, but it was, I mean, several thousands of rounds were exchanged between these groups of people, right?
So and it was mostly the North Hollywood shooters.
It was mostly the high incident bandits, which is what they were called up to this point, before anybody knew their names.
The high incident bandits? Oh, yeah, because they did robberies before.
So, okay, quick background about these two bank robbers. We're really going to get into the weeds of this, but these two guys, we got two main characters of this event, right? We've got Larry Phillips, and we've got Emil Matasarana, who's a Romanian immigrant. So these two guys became friends in the 80s, and they met at a Gold's Gym because they were both bodybuilders.
Wait a second. This sounds familiar.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Well, that's why I love these guys, because like everybody...
It's just the bros.
It's just literally like every gun guy is like...
They watched too many action movies and became the action movie.
Dude, okay, we're going to get into it. So they met at a Gold's Gym, and they're both bodybuilders, right? And then they bond over the fact that they love working out, taking steroids, and shooting guns. Already... Best friends.
The
like,
boys.
I'm like, I would hang out with these
Already,
guys.
Already? The cops are in the wrong. These I'm are like, the dogs.
Maybe we should be nice to these guys.
Yeah.
So then they kind of both have a history of, didn't have great home lives. Like, obviously, Emil being like an immigrant, didn't have a great like starting point to his life. And then Larry had like kind of a deadbeat dad who hit his mom. Like, just that kind of thing, right? So not good home lives, bad upbringing. And then they were both really into petty crime growing up. So they would do things like... stealing from ATMs or credit card fraud or like using false names, just like every little petty thing you can think of they were probably doing to like steal or save money, or just they're generally kind of bad people, right?
But you should be doing that anyways, you know? You gotta learn your crimes quick so you know which ones not to get in trouble for.
Well, if you're gonna do that stuff, the 80s was the time. Like, that was the time to get away with stuff, but not anymore. So anyway, I would say that these are like career criminals, and they both tried to have day jobs. And it just never worked out. Like, these guys were just really not built to have normal jobs, right? Like, Emil had a computer repair business that apparently just crashed and burned. Like, it was not a good thing for him to
Probably
do.
Probably the steroids.
Probably the steroids and the
Smashing
road rage.
Smashing computers.
So if you look up pictures of these guys, it's very difficult to find images of them. Unless you go to, like, certain websites. Like, NorthHollywoodShootout.com is, like, the one to go to for facts and stats and stuff. But, what you'll probably see is their mugshots, and they look like pretty normal guys in their mugshots, right? But what you don't see is from the neck down, these guys are Captain Jack Sparrow. Like, they were they were pinning up like crazy. These guys were huge.
These fucking jack dudes on the move.
Yeah, they're huge. So they're bodybuilders, and they're definitely doing steroids. Golden age of bodybuilding and all that, right? I guess that was the 70s. But anyway, so we got these two guys. And I want to talk about their bank robbery, because like they were like career criminals.
Yeah, before this, they were doing bank robberies.
Yeah, and they had been robbing banks since the early 90s, late 80s.
That was my favorite tidbit whenever you told me about the first time. I was like, well, I mean, I guess if they would have got away with it, they would have been rich. And you were like, dude, they were already rich. They just did it because it was fun.
Yeah. So this is a really interesting thing about this that people don't talk about with this shooting, is that they were robbing banks for almost 10 years at this point and hadn't been caught yet because of the way that they did it. And it's also, I'll talk about this later, but the way that Hollywood was at the time, like LA was so fucked up.
Yeah.
But so basically their modus operandi was to go in to banks, or they would rob armored cars sometimes, like the ones that deliver money to banks.
Yeah.
And they would be wearing ski masks or balaclavas, and they'd be wearing like head-to-toe body armor, like both soft and ceramic body armor, just head-to-toe.
And they're jacked, so they got it.
Yeah, and they're huge guys. And then they would have illegally modified AKs that were full auto and short-barreled, and they would just like shoot in the air, scare the shit out of people, and then steal all their money and be out of there in like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
So they would go in head to toe in like full kit with guns, shoot everything, not people. And they would like, they would like punch people and like shove them and stuff, but they didn't kill anyone. So armed robbery, like with like battery and stuff.
Yeah, which is when the cops never chase you whenever you don't kill anybody. As soon as you kill somebody, it's over.
That's an interesting, even to this day, if you perform armed robbery at a bank and you don't murder someone, the crime is very different and the punishment is very, very different.
Yeah.
And they knew that. And so they like were very purposely not killing people to a certain point. But that was like their modus operandi. And they started in the late 80s, early 90s, and they were robbing banks and stuff. And they were really good at it. Like, they were walking away with big scores of, like, millions of dollars at points, right?
Yeah, which they were just turning into more modified AKs.
Yeah, which they were... That's a, this is a gun podcast. We're going to talk about all the guns they use and stuff like that. But also, I want to talk about, like, their careers and stuff. So they're robbing all these banks, and then they robbed an armored car at one point, and they shot the driver and killed him. So they killed this, like, security guard guy, basically. And then later, there was a cop who tried to pull him over, and they killed the cop and drove away. And they didn't get caught for it. So these guys have already established that if they have to shoot you, they will. And they're not afraid to kill cops. And they were doing this for years.
Yeah.
I think they only, in their lives, only killed like three people. They killed three people. That we know of. I mean, yeah, they probably killed lots more that we don't know about. Yeah. But for the most part, when they were robbing banks, they weren't there to shoot people and kill them. They were there to get money and leave. And as Case pointed out, they'd been doing this for so long and they were so good at it that they were already like, I mean, they were stupid rich, millions of dollars, right? So they didn't need to rob any more banks, but they kept doing it. And it was like they were hitting a bank like every 3-4 months.
Probably addicting too.
Well, that's what, you know, you watch documentaries about this and that's kind of what everyone just agrees upon is like, yeah, they didn't have to do it. They were just like addicted to the thrill.
Yeah.
The high of like going it's in there.
Literally the real Point Break, except they didn't play football and surf.
Yeah, they were just bodybuilders from California.
Yeah.
With machine guns.
Johnny Utah.
So we'll fast forward a little bit to 1997 when these guys are robbing this bank. And actually, well, hold on. Let's back up a little bit. So I want to talk about two things real quick. The cops of the 90s.
Yeah.
So 1991, the LAPD beat the shit out of Rodney King.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were somehow found not guilty.
But all their money got cut.
Yeah.
Which happens every time that a big event like that happens.
I don't want to like sit here and explain the Rodney King and LA riots like stuff to people because everybody knows what that is, right?
Everybody hates the LA cops because this incident happened and it was bad or good. We don't know. We do know, but no one cares.
It was like a racially charged thing where cops like did something bad to a black guy and then in court they were found not criminally liable.
Yeah.
But then the backlash was so bad. There's horrible riots
in LA.
Everybody's
going to hate LA cops for years.
Which people already didn't love LA
cops.
Which
means the budget gets cut.
So the budget got cut immediately and there was like this big wave of like, let's not militarize the police because they're seen as like bullies with nightsticks and guns. And so what basically a bunch of like councils and boards did in the early 90s after the LA riots and Rodney King, they basically like cut, like Kay said, the budget for all these cops. So no more like armored cars, no rifles. It was like the cops had
Revolver
like...
Revolver City.
Well, they had Beretta 92FS handguns, semi-automatic 9mm handguns.
Almost worse than the Revolver.
And then they had Remington 870 shotguns that were shooting double aught buck.
Not even slugs?
No, buckshot.
Slugs might have saved the situation.
Well, we'll talk about it. So... That's from like 1991 to 97, which is when this event happens. The cops are like neutered. They sometimes have soft body armor, but not every cop did.
Yeah.
It's also just the 90s. Like body armor wasn't widely
soft
a thing.
Soft body armor only stops handgun too.
And even then, it's not great. Like it'll stop it and save your life, but it'll really hurt you.
It was literally invented by a pizza delivery man.
Not too early before this happened too.
Yeah.
You want to tell that story real quick?
Yeah, so if you don't know where body armor came from, it was a pizza delivery guy. He was in Detroit, right?
I thought it was maybe Hollywood, or maybe it was Detroit. Yeah,
I think it's Detroit.
It's a big city.
He's a pizza delivery guy, and every time he was delivering pizza, he kept getting shot at, and it was such a problem that he literally invented soft body armor that stops handgun rounds. And the way he couldn't really get people to buy it for a while, so he made informational videos that you can still go watch on YouTube, where he just like points the gun at himself, shoots himself, and then he shows himself like shooting six targets, like I'm still in the fight. And then he, like, pulls it out and shows you, like, he stopped it. So he and Bennett, soft body armor, because he was getting lit up too much in fucking whatever bad part of town he was delivering pizza in.
Papa John's. Really, they needed to provide that man.
I don't even think it was his pizza company.
No, I think he was working for someone else, which is insane.
And whoever he was working for was like, yeah, put that fucking body armor on, bring your gun, deliver these goddamn pies.
I want to say, wasn't that like the 70s or 80s or something? Yeah. It was a while ago. Body armor has existed in weird forms before. Like guys in World War One were like strapping steel plates to themselves, but it was so impractical.
Yeah, steel. There's a reason the Kevlar was a good invention.
Yeah, like something that's like soft and lightweight but can still stop bullets. Yeah. But to the point, like the body armor that the cops had in L.A. in the 90s was
a pizza delivery man's body armor.
It honestly was probably not even that good. Like it sucked. So it could stop like some handgun rounds, but... And again, it would probably save your life if you got shot. Like, it's better than getting shot in the heart.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's still, like, the impact of getting shot is, like, it's like getting tackled by a football player. That's what I've heard it compared to. Yeah. Modern body armor is much better. And, like, you can, like, kind of, Kay said, you can kind of just shrug stuff off if it's, like, quality body armor. And obviously you have to get shot at something
else. It's still going to feel like you got punched, I hear.
Well, I think, yes, absolutely. Like, it's never going to be a good experience getting shot. But there's so many, like, factors involved with it. And body armor is so much better now.
These ones will literally stop at least a rifle round, which is what's so important about the new ones.
The new ones are much better.
Because guess what the North Hollywood shooters had?
The North Hollywood shooters, the high incident bandits, Larry and Emil, had homemade improvised body armor with steel trauma plates. And then they also had soft butter that they wrapped around their limbs.
Yeah.
So they basically were immune to small arms fire that wasn't like really big rifle rounds.
Yeah.
Also, to point out, before they would rob banks, Larry and Emil would both take a bunch of muscle relaxers and oxycodone. So they were fucked up.
They were relaxed.
They were chill, and they were like, I don't want to say they couldn't feel pain, but anyone who's done, like if you got surgery and then like they gave you oxy afterwards,
you
cannot feel anything. Yeah. So these guys would go in and rob these banks with full body armor, machine guns, and they're high on like lower or downers, rather. So they're like super chill, but they're probably also taking a bunch of anabolic steroids. So they kind of got a little bit of roid rage in them, kind of got some alpha male stuff going on. By the way, taking steroids, I'm a controversial Squiblo take. I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah.
Don't mix guns and drugs ever. But like, if you're gonna be a bodybuilder, just don't bother anybody, and you're good. That's not a big
deal. Steroids is the one drug that like every drug has like frowned upon things and stuff.
Yeah.
And like steroids, no one ever gets in trouble for it.
Yeah, well, because it's so widely
like done. Guys who do like steroids in the military, they like don't test for it, and everybody knows you're probably on steroids. They don't even give a shit.
I feel like if you're in the military or like a professional athlete, they probably should be juicing. Like,
well, they kind of like support it.
Well, it's like, well, because steroids at the end of the day are there to like help you recover from like overexerting yourself.
Yeah.
Or like if your diet was bad and you're like too skinny and you want to quickly get big.
Only like, become a problem whenever you like punch somebody and people will say it's roid rage.
Well, there's also like you can do steroids without like abusing them. Like I'm sure you've probably met people in your daily life that do steroids, but they're not like an asshole about it.
Yeah.
Like those people exist. It's just there's like meatheads that are like have bad tempers and
they probably were at the point where they had abused it though.
The bank robbers. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they were not being gentle.
They probably were pretty mad when they were getting shot at.
Yeah, they're probably pissed off. So, okay, so we've got LA cops that don't have good equipment because of the Rodney King stuff, and we've got these bank robbers that are armed to the fucking gills.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's one more thing. So bank robberies in LA, like LA was such a crime-ridden shithole at the time, so bank robberies under a certain amount of money simply would not be investigated by the FBI. So like if you robbed less than $300,000 and you didn't hurt anyone, the FBI was just like, we're too busy, we can't look into it.
Yeah, we'll just print more money.
Yeah, and then also, like, a lot of these banks were insured. Like, you've ever seen the movie Heat?
Yeah.
Like, the speech he gives in Heat where he's like, you're not going to lose a dime. This is the bank's money, not your money. You're going to get everything back in insurance. That's real.
Yeah.
So, like, people, like, Larry and Emil were robbing these banks of money, but the people that, like, had their money stored in the bank weren't losing anything. So it's still, like, a dickhead
thing.
Like,
that's why no one was stopping them for a while.
Yeah, like, so they would do these heists where they'd get, like, $150,000, $200,000 or whatever. And then, like, no one would really look at him. And then also, like, the FBI and the LAPD were so busy with others, like, serial killers and...
this was that time.
Yeah, there's tons of bad shit happening in California. Gangs, like, it was the height of gang violence in the 90s. So they just did not have time to search for these two guys that... I mean, they're not good, but they're not really doing anything that bad. and they hadn't connected them to like the, they killed like that armored car driver and they killed like that cop. Yeah. They hadn't connected these people to that yet.
Till after it happened.
Yeah. So they really just didn't have the resources to deal with this. So you take all those things and you mix them together and you get the North Hollywood shootout. So to set the stage, Larry and Emil roll up to a Bank of America in the morning. I want to say it's like 8 or 9 a.m. Like, it's pretty early in the day. And they have watches sewn into their body armor, and they set a timer for 6 minutes. So they say, we need to have these tasks done at different intervals. Like, so we're going to go in. Emil, you go to the manager of the bank and get into the safe. Larry's on crowd control. So Larry's going to go in and intimidate people and shove them to the ground and take their fucking cell phones and shit. And then Emil is going to go and talk to the bank teller. And they're like, we need to have the safe cracked 60 seconds into the heist. We need to have our bags filled up 2 minutes into the heist. We need to be back into our car at 4 minutes. And we got to be out of the county at 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like, they had all these like checkpoints because they knew the police response time so well.
Out of the county at 6 minutes is insane.
Dude, they were not messing. Like, they had it down.
Must have been right by the line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, they're hauling ass out of there.
Yeah.
Maybe the county's an exaggeration. But, like, they had to...
They had to get out of there. Police
like,
response.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And they had done this so many times, they're really comfortable with it.
Yeah.
So, here's where it gets messy. They parked their car in front of this bank. And they're all armored up with their ski masks and their AK-47s. And they kick the door in. Right across the street, I shit you not, there's a Dunkin' Donuts. And there are cops getting coffee and donuts at this coffee shop. And they see these bank robbers go into the Bank of America across the street. And they go, hey guys, we might need some backup.
They go, it's time to be a hero.
And much like the cops at Uvalde, they very bravely sit around and wait for their backup to show up. I'm actually not going to shit on too much because I wouldn't want to charge in there either. But
they just sat outside.
They sat outside and they hear automatic gunfire coming from the bank and they just wait outside.
Nice.
So Larry and Emil, not knowing that they had just been spotted, they do their normal thing. They empty each 75 rounds into the ceiling of this bank with their AKs. They both empty a drum into the ceiling. And then they both reload and then Larry goes to crowd control. He's like punching people. And
we're 150 rounds in.
Yeah.
1 minute in.
150 rounds in, not even a minute into the bank robbery. They haven't even been caught yet.
Yeah.
They
don't even know they're busted.
Larry is, you can like listen to interviews of people like that were in the bank and stuff. And Larry is like screaming at people. He's like, don't look at me or I'll kill you. Get on the ground. Don't look at me. I'm not going to hurt. Like, you know, he's like, if you just listen to me, we're not going to get hurt. It'll be over before you know it. And then Emil is like talking to the bank manager and he's like, get me into that safe right now. And so they're just doing their thing. As this happens, minutes go by. And the cops are surrounding the bank. Like, there is so many of them.
This is almost worse than if they just got away, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's way worse.
Let's turn this into a thing.
So, in the bank, things are actually not going according to plan for Larry and Emil, even before they get caught. So, Emil is talking to the bank manager, and the Bank of America had been robbed so many times that they changed how much money they keep in the bank. So they've only got like 50, 60 grand at the bank, which is nothing compared to the score they're getting. And so Emil was like, dude, you're holding out. Like, what the fuck? Where are you hiding the rest of the money? And the manager's like, I swear to God, this is all we have. And Emil's not believing him. So he starts like, you know, searching through desks and drawers. Like, where's the rest of the money? It's just not there. And then also the bank manager doesn't have the combination to the safe. Do you have to call like a regional guy to come drive if somebody needs more money?
So we're pissed.
So Emil takes his AK and shoots the front of the safe off, which you can't do anymore. Bank safes
are... Damn!
Well,
that sucked that bad?
Back in the 90s, they were. You could have.
That's pretty sick.
Not anymore if you've ever been to a bank now in 2020. They're huge. Like, they're giant. You cannot get in there. But he shot the front of the safe off and took all this money, which was not that much.
Yeah.
And so they're already behind schedule. They're like, they're already so behind because of all these shenanigans in the bank. Then Larry takes a step outside because like he's about to like unlock the car and get in there, put all the money in it. And he sees fucking 100 police officers surrounding the building. And you might think like, oh, they should have just like lit him up right there, right? No, yeah. The cops are like 80 yards back.
So they couldn't hit him with what they had.
Well, I mean, they could try. But
yeah, it's 80, handguns.
80 yards with a handgun. You got to be a pretty good shot to make that.
Yeah.
It's doable. Like, we've shot that far with handguns. You can do it. But these are LA cops. So they're not making that shot. They're not good at shooting.
Yeah.
So Larry sees that and you can see him on camera because they've got like a helicopter recording this entire thing. The entire shootout's on YouTube, by the way. Go watch it. You can see Larry walk outside and see these bunch of cops, and he has his rifle at low ready in a very relaxed stance, and he nods his head once and then walks back into the bank. And then
so they knew they were fucked.
Yeah. And so then Larry and Emil, we don't know what they talked about in the bank, but they probably were just like, yeah, we're not going back to jail.
Yeah, this is our dream.
How about we go take care of business?
Yeah.
So Larry and Emil walk out and both immediately they had Narenko 56 AK-47s just dumping rounds into police cars from 80 yards away. Just full auto, just spraying rounds at the cops.
And also, didn't this help inspire some movies about whenever cars get absolutely lit up? It's such a nice noise to hear, like, a rip across a car where it's like, pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, like all the metal. Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds cool as fuck.
So another misconception is that, the movie Heat is about bank robbers, and, a very similar shootout happens between bank robbers and cops. But
it was before it.
Yeah, so everyone's like, man, Heat saw this and made a movie. No, Heat came out
before it.
Heat came out in 1995. The North Hollywood shooting was 1997.
Yeah.
So, if anything, the shooters liked the movie, which we don't know if they did. But
have we told everybody about the Heat myth?
What's that? Go ahead.
Wherever they're like, they show this in boot camp, that scene where he reloads.
Yeah.
They don't show that in boot camp. They don't show that to anybody, but everybody says they do. Maybe they did.
Do you remember that time in boot camp where they rolled up a big TV and they showed
you all cool? Okay, so we have said it. Because I remember you saying this exact thing. Where it's you're so like, stupid. Remember that time in boot camp whenever they rolled up a TV and showed us movies?
Yeah. No, they yell at you and make you clean poop out of beds.
But if you go watch that Heat YouTube video, it's the top comment every time. They taught me this in Marine Corps boot camp. It's shut up.
I also remember a recruiter being like, I never got yelled at in boot camp and no one ever threw anything at me. I'm like, you fucking liar.
Dude, my recruiter told me that too.
That's so shit. People, when you go to boot camp, they yell at you.
They hit you sometimes.
Yeah, I was gonna say, sometimes they shove you and they throw stuff at you, but it happens. Anyway, North Hollywood. So now there's a full-blown firefight, and the cops return fire because there's so many of them. Just through volume of fire, they're hitting Larry and Emil. So imagine this barrage of handgun and shotgun rounds, which, by the way, double at buck from 80 yards, not doing a lot.
I hope the fucking people inside took cover.
Okay. I guess we should fast forward and tell people the result of this. Nobody died except for the two bank robbers, somehow.
Yeah.
So many people got injured. So by gunfire, I think there was 15 casualties. They injured some critically people with gunfire.
Casualty means dead. So there was 15 injured.
15 injured. Well, casualty means injured or dead. It means taken out of the fight.
What? Fact check them, guys. Okay.
If you look up the casualties of the Civil War, it's there was however many millions of casualties, and half of them are deaths and half of them are wounded guys. Yeah. So anyway, a bunch of cops and random passerbys got injured by stray gunfire, and then the two bank robbers died. But we're skipping ahead. But just in case you're squeamish, just the bad guys died. Cops didn't die. And neither did random civilians. So
sad ending.
Sad ending, yeah. Sad music plays at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
So they're firing at each other. Larry and Emil are getting hit, and you can watch videos of them getting shot, and they literally are just getting mad. They're just getting pissed off that they're getting shot because they have body armor head to toe, and shotgun pellets are slamming into them that are from so far away that it's not really doing anything. And then handgun rounds, some of the weakest handgun rounds on the market, ball ammo from a 9mm Beretta hitting their steel plates.
Yeah.
It's doing nothing to them. They
got ammo.
So they checked the bank robbers clothes and bodies and stuff afterwards. I'm just gonna talk about Larry because something happens to Emil later. But Larry gets shot with 9mm bullets over 100 times.
Yeah.
And that's not what killed him.
Yeah.
He was fine. So they're having all these gunfire, and then something very important happens that I haven't heard anyone else talk about in this. Larry gets shot in the unarmored wrist really early on. We don't know what hit him. Probably 9mm, or maybe a shotgun pellet. He gets shot in his wrist. And for the rest of the gunfight, you can see him resting a rifle in the crook of his elbow instead of grabbing it with his support hand because his hand is shot off almost.
Yeah.
It was a really bad hit. But he's still in the fight.
It's literally the worst nightmare of losing a hand in a gunfight.
Yeah. He gets shot right where your thumb is and then connected to your wrist. He got shot right there, which is really important.
If you're training those little like, you've seen all those videos where people train, like, getting shit hit in the hand and they reload yeah. their pistol one-handed. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, do that with an AK that's automatic. It yeah. doesn't take that much of an effect.
Not really.
Whenever you're shooting at a crowd.
They have just drum upon drum magazine. Yeah. 7,500 round
drums.
Just
gotta lay down and put a new drum in.
Yeah. Which they are. Yeah. So Larry gets hit, and he's shooting with one hand now, and this goes on for, like, a long time of them just shooting at each other and nothing really happening. Like, Larry and Emil are, like, hitting cops but not killing them.
But imagine being those cops, like, just getting riddled with 7.62.
Yeah, they're...
It'd be fucking scary as fuck.
You can listen to the radio recordings of them freaking out, like, because they are not used to this.
No one is used to getting... absolutely hammered behind a sheet metal ass car.
I mean, this is like you're losing a war.
Get in behind the engine block.
Yeah. So they're taking cover behind their cars like they're trained to do, but the only part of a car that can really stop bullets is the engine.
Yeah.
Other parts of a car are not bulletproof.
Yeah.
And at this point, again, cops don't have like bulletproof plates in their car. Now they do.
But did one of them have an AR style?
Yeah. So let's talk about the guns they used real quick. Yeah. So I said they both have Norinco 56. So a Norinco 56S is like a semi-automatic AK clone.
Yeah, and they made them automatic.
They modified them to make them machine guns. But then in their car, they also had an HK91, which was a semi-auto like battle rifle. And then they had a Bushmaster Dissipator.
They had an HK91?
They did.
Damn.
Which that was the only gun they had that could shoot through engine blocks.
They would fuck these guys up.
Oh, they did.
HK-91.
Yeah, big gun. That's a big battle rifle.
Tell them about this Bushmaster while I look that up.
Yeah, so the Dissipator is basically like, I hate to use this term, it's like an M16A1 clone, and like I hate to even use that phrase because people like aren't picturing what that is, but think of like an early Vietnam gun with a carry handle sights, and it's got that triangular handguard on it. The Dissipator is just like the 90s version of that. So it's made with like 90s polymers and it's got like the carry handle sights. Interestingly enough, they did have a 150 drum mag for this Dissipator and they modified it to be full auto. So they've got like basically a light machine gun.
Dude, that HK-91 would be fucking them up.
Oh, it was. Dude.
Isn't it a G3 technically?
Yeah, it's like, it's basically a G3, but small differences.
Yeah, you would think of a G3, and if you look up a picture of an HK-91.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, it's got HK's roller delayed blowback rifle action in it with a charging handle that you can lock back.
Dude, that'd be my worst fear. If they're already ripping at me with an AK, I'm hiding, and then one of them would just see has a fucking HK-91.
A huge rifle.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's a bad day. So, again, like they're shooting at each other and not a lot's happening. Like Larry and Emil getting hit a fuck ton, but not really bad. Like other than Larry's wrist, like they're pretty much okay, right? And then at one point they get into Larry and Emil kind of realize like this is not going to work out. Like they're shooting and the cops are completely pinned behind their cars, but like they're going to run out of ammo eventually and the cops are not going to run out of more cops, right?
Yeah.
So Emil gets into a getaway car, like their car that they rolled up in, and starts telling Larry, get in the car. We got to get out of here. And Larry is in rage mode. He's like, have you ever seen an action movie at the very, like the final standoff between like a main character and
activate it?
Yeah. Like he is like red in the face. You can't see him, but like he's pissed off. And like, you can see even like through like the helicopter camera, he's like yelling at the cops and like, he's like challenging them, like he's doing like the kung fu like come here motion with his hand. He's like, come on, come fucking fight me.
Yeah.
And Emil is like, get in the car. And Larry's like, no, I'm gonna stay here and kill all these cops.
Oh my God.
And so they kind of argue a little bit. The two bank robbers argue for just a little bit, and eventually Emil starts driving in their getaway car and Larry is using it for mobile cover as they slowly drive out of the parking lot. But the tires on their car
are fucked
because of the amount of rounds that have just been hurled. They weren't even shooting at the car.
Yeah.
But just like the volume of hundreds and hundreds of rounds being thrown in their direction. Like
eventually one of them is just going to pop. It takes one.
Well, dude, all the tires were gone and like glass fragments.
But it only takes one bullet to blow a tire.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it was like every car in this parking lot was fucked up. So they had no options of getaway vehicle. It was just like a car with no tires.
Slow moving cover.
Yeah. So that's what they did. And they're moving and shooting, and as they're doing this, Larry is, like, not really focusing on the car. He's purely focusing on shooting cops, right? And he gets hit a few more times. He gets hit in the shoulder. He gets hit in the elbow joint. Like, Larry's fucked up. He's getting hurt really bad. And because he's not in the car. He's not taking cover, and he's not really moving. And then Emil is driving the car, and eventually they're driving down this road. Emil, super slow. Like, I would say, like, 10 miles an hour. Emil's driving this car, and there's a big semi-truck that's, like, parked in a right lane. And Emil swerves to the left to avoid it and just keeps driving. And Larry takes cover behind the semi and doesn't see where Emil goes. Like, he loses him.
So they split up.
So now Larry is on foot behind a semi-truck just walking down the sidewalk, critically injured at this point.
Yeah.
Just been shot in, like, weird unarmored parts of him so many times. Like, I would say probably 5 or 6 times he's been hit in unarmored places.
Yeah.
And so he's just walking, and Emil keeps driving. So they're split up. So then this is, like, probably one of the coolest parts of it. You can see Larry, he gets a stovepipe jam in his AK.
Yeah.
And then he drops his AK-47.
Because he can't clear, because he has one hand.
Because he has one hand. So I've heard cops talk about, well, these bank robbers are dumb. When you get a stovepipe, all you got to do is clear the action. Just run the action of the gun.
Yeah, you have one hand.
He's got one hand.
Yeah.
And also, the barrel is, like, melting off of his AK because he just fired, like, 600 rounds.
Because it's supposed to only be semi-automatic. And that's why the FUDs tell you to shoot slow, because you don't want to melt your barrel in North Hollywood Shootout.
Melt your gas block in your AK, because they get hot as shit.
Dude, that thing was wicked hot.
It was glowing.
You could probably, like, drop water on it, and it would collapse the barrel.
Yeah, dude, there's no way. So he drops his AK because it is out of action, and I get so annoyed when I hear people, they're just like, he's a dumb bank robber. You know, he just clear that stovepipe. It's like, dude, have you shot a gun? Like, dude, it's fucking hot. You can't touch it. Even with gloves on, you couldn't touch it.
Yeah.
It would light your shit on fire. You could do a mortar clear, but you're getting shot at by dozens of people. It's faster to draw a secondary weapon.
And it's metal AK-75-round drums. They have a lot of feeding problems also.
They're not the most reliable feeding mechanism for AKs, which is another myth about AKs being, like, super reliable gun. They jam
they
sometimes.
They work good with the 30-round mags, but AKs jam just as much as other guns.
These are illegally modified Chinese AKs. Like, they're not top-of-the-line great guns.
If you think about an AK, it just kind of has a better rhythm, like, slower rhythm, kind of like a bar.
Yeah.
Which makes it more reliable as not getting jammed, I guess. Well, but I mean,
that's one of the main differences between the AK-47 and the AKM, is that the AKM very purposely had its fire rate slowed down so it would be more controllable.
Yeah.
Which is, the AKM is one of the best rifles ever made.
Yeah.
AK-47 is okay. These guys had AK-47s.
The AK-47 is always going to be slower than the AR, so you're going to get...
Yeah.
You're going to get less jams just by that specifically.
Correct, yeah. Yeah, better action, for at least for this case.
Yeah.
So Larry draws a Beretta handgun. Ironically, it's the same gun he's been getting shot with. And so with his broken, fucked up hand, he is, like, walking towards police officers, and he's flipping them off with his fucked up hand. And the other hand, he's just winging rounds in their direction.
The only good thing his hand's left for is flipping off the birds.
Yeah.
To the pigs.
Which is a badass image of him flipping off cops with a smoldering AK behind him as he's, like, walking towards this gun line of people shooting at him, just getting hit over and over again. At this point, the helicopter camera that's recording this all zooms in on him, like, really close.
Yeah.
And you can see puffs of smoke and blood coming out of him from getting hit over and over again. And then he gets shot in his right hand, the one holding his Beretta. And so now he has basically no way to fight or defend himself. And so he grabs his gun that he just dropped, and he's kind of, like, clutching it in his elbows in a really weird way. And he's, like, jamming one finger in the trigger guard, and he puts the pistol under his chin and kills himself.
Yeah.
And then while he's down, the cops keep shooting his body, like, over and over again.
You can't trick us.
Yeah. Which is a kind of a weird, like, I'm not blaming the cops for this. I probably would do the same thing.
Yeah.
But they're just, like, dumping rounds into the guy, and they stand over his body while he's, like, clearly dead and keep shooting him.
He probably would have made it out of there if he had a 1911. You need that 45 AC. If he had to reload every other shot with his 1911, he would have made it out.
So Larry's dead now. Oh, real quick, I want to point out, there's a helicopter filming this entire thing. There's only two parts of this shootout that weren't filmed. It's the very beginning before the helicopter got there, and then at one point in the shooting, Larry turns his AK towards the sky and starts ripping AK rounds at the helicopter. And the cameraman who's recording is like, "We're taking fire," and they fly away a little bit, and then they come back when the heat gets lower. So Larry's, like, dumping AK rounds at a helicopter. So then Emil, if you remember, still driving this car with no tires.
Yeah.
So he's fucked. He tries to carjack a few people, and it doesn't work. And he eventually like tries to carjack this truck, and it's like an old truck that has a kill switch in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry is like a Romanian guy who doesn't know what that is. So he gets in.
Kill switched him?
Yeah. So a guy got out of his truck because someone had an AK pointed at him.
Yeah, obviously.
And then he hits the kill switch and runs away.
Man, this damn truck don't work.
Yeah. And so
God damn.
Emil doesn't know how to start this truck. So he, at this point, a SWAT team finally arrives.
Yeah.
They had to go to a gun store in a different town
to get something that can handle this situation.
To get AR-15s.
Oh, man.
Semi-automatic AR-15s.
If you are wondering how underfunded these police were, every cop car has a long gun and a shotgun.
After this. Because of this.
Yeah. Imagine your cops having to go to another town.
So they get AR-15s, which most people probably know this, but soft body armor will not stop rifle rounds.
Yeah.
I mean, modern stuff sometimes can, but back in the day, soft body armor that you could wrap around yourself would not stop rifle rounds.
Yeah.
The only thing that will is steel plates. We're talking about 90s here. No ceramic yet.
So, like, all his limbs could now get taken out. All his he had soft body armor.
Yeah. Yeah. And on his chest, and then, like, he had, like, tiny little bits of steel, like, sometimes, like, on, like, his upper arm. But for the most part, he's now vulnerable to these rifle rounds, like, in his limbs, right? Yeah. So the cops pull up, the SWAT team pulls up in their, like, Chargers or what, not Chargers, but I forget what cop car in the 90s, but you know the one. It's, like, black and white.
Oh. It's a fucking Ford. God damn it, why did you fuck me?
Sorry, I fucked you on this
one. You keep going, I'll think of it.
Okay, so they pull up in their cop cars and, like, they park, you know how coply, in, like, a triangular fucking pattern around this guy. So they get out of their cars and they're, like, taking cover and they're shooting at him. And they just are, at this point, they're in, like, a firefight and they're super close. They're, like, 15, 20 feet away. They're right next to each other. And Emil's, like, ripping out rounds full auto with the dissipator. So at this point, this is another really interesting part of the shooting. The cops, there's like two guys who lay prone under their cars and they shoot at Emil's feet that are like behind the car. So Emil is like kind of crouching and they shoot him in the foot. He gets hit in the foot and he's like, oh shit. And then he gets down on one knee. Then they start shooting his knees.
Yeah.
And then he falls down further and they start shooting him in the thighs and the ass. And so they just shoot him dozens of times in the legs and ass and shins. Until finally, this guy is just, he doesn't have legs. And he's just a legless dude sitting there. And then he throws his arms up and surrenders.
It's a Crown Vic, by the way.
Thank you, Crown Vic.
There you go.
I knew,
I had to think of it, but I want you to finish.
Everybody knows Crown Vic. It's an iconic police car. It's
the best
car. So then they surround Emil. And they actually, he bleeds out before anyone could get to him. So both bank robbers die.
At least he gave up before, like, they would. I would not want to go to jail.
Well, I mean, I feel like when you're getting shot dozens of times in the legs, you
yeah,
it hurts. Another cool thing, this is a lesson a lot of gun guys take away from this, military, civilian, police officer, whatever, the way that rifle rounds ricochet when you shoot asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
So rifle rounds are going so fast and they're very lightweight.
They kind of skip like a stone.
Yeah. Well, they'll shatter and then create tiny little fragments that will skip like a stone.
Shotgun blast coming from underneath the car.
Exactly. So, 5.56 in particular has a tendency to shatter when it hits hard surfaces.
Mm-hmm.
So, they weren't actually, like, they were shooting Emil, like, in the legs and stuff, but a lot of these rounds that were hitting him were hitting the asphalt in front of him,
mm-hmm.
and then were creating these little shotgun blasts, like Kay said, and they're sending fragments into his leg. So if you look at the coronary report, like, his post-mortem that they did on Emil, they say he has, like, 60 bullet wounds in his legs, and you're like, God damn.
Well, it was really probably, like, 10.
He probably got shot in the leg, like, 15 to 20 times, and then the other 40 were, like, these little fragments. Yeah. Which, getting shot 15, 20 times is already, like,
you're fucked.
That's a bad day, for sure. But, yeah, you can ricochet rounds off of hard surfaces and hit people with, like, these little shotgun blasts, which not many people know about.
But that's what they were doing. They're just bouncing them. They're skipping stones underneath this car.
These SWAT cops who actually knew what they were doing. And they're wearing short shorts because they were in the middle of a run when this happened. And then they had to quickly drive to a gun store because they didn't even have rifles.
Who wears short shorts? SWAT cops wear short shorts.
Yes, they do.
And then they stopped the North Hollywood bank shooting.
Outnumbered like 12 to 1, ricocheting rounds off asphalt to get him.
Them boys as heroes.
And I want to point out that if they had weapons that weren't an AR-15, first of all, they wouldn't have been able to ricochet them as effectively.
That might be why Emil killed himself. Well, he didn't kill himself, Larry. But why he let himself die.
Oh, yeah. It's
because SWAT cops in short shorts came and just started blasting him.
I'd surrender immediately, too.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, shit, they sent in the big dogs.
So, there's so many interesting things to unpack here. The HK-91, if you're wondering what happened with that, Larry had it at one point and was shooting at cops, and there was this one pistol shot that hit the magazine, the front of the magazine well on that rifle, and it became the worst malfunction imaginable. So it has feeding problems because the magazine just got shot and the follower's broken now. Yeah. So it can't feed rounds. And then think about, well, I mean, what do you do in that situation? You can't pull the bolt back because there's spring pressure keeping the bolt closed.
Yeah, you have one arm.
You can't take the magazine out and you have one arm. You can't take the magazine out because the magwell is now crunched shut.
Yeah.
So the gun is completely broken.
So they just got the luckiest shot of all time.
Yeah.
The one gun that could have destroyed them.
Which, again, it's like, think about lottery numbers. If you play the lottery 4 million times, you're going to win eventually, right?
Yeah.
If you shoot at these bank robbers
4 million times,
you're going to get a weird lucky hit where you break his gun.
Yeah.
So that sort of thing happened a lot. But, like, the HK-91 malfunction, like, I still think, like, that's the weirdest malfunction. Like, of all the things that could be, like, I'd rather have a bullet go straight down the barrel of a gun.
That's the most fun part about, like, crazy shootouts that are really long and stuff, is I was like, now that we're looking at the forensics, this crazy thing happened. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, because it's like a million basketball shots were just made, and look at all these shots that made it. And this one broke the backboard.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's insane. And also, like, nobody in the moment knew that that happened. Like, yeah. I bet Larry looked
how lucky they just got.
Yeah, I bet Larry looked at his gun and went, what the fuck? And
isn't then, like, threw it down. 91 308?
It is 308, yeah.
Yeah, you would have been fucked.
Which is ripping through cars.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God.
So, what happened as a result of this? First of all, tons of laws got changed.
Tons of laws got changed. Cop budgets?
Way up.
Yeah.
Not just in L.A. Everywhere in the country.
Yeah.
So, have you ever wondered, like, why do cops wear all black? And why do they wear body armor? And why do they, like, if you don't know this, every cop car, or at least damn near most of them, they have a rifle in their car.
Yeah, they have the long gun.
They have an AR-15 in their car. And, like, you've probably seen, like, body cam footage of, like, cops with, like, they've got a scope and then a magnifier, and they've got, like, spare magazines and magazines duct taped together on their rifles.
And you're like, why the fuck are cops so armed? Like, it's just a military state. Yeah. Well, sometimes things happen.
So it's as a result of these bank robbers.
Yeah.
Larry and Emil were, like, the well-known ones, but there was a few other instances of people, like, with body armor and rifles robbing banks.
Well, after this, it also increased.
Yeah, it got way, way worse.
But so, they started getting handled way faster because of this.
Because police got way bigger funding.
Yeah.
So I don't, we probably need to have, like, a separate topic about, like, cops and, like, as a gun owner, how should you feel about cops? Like, how do we feel about cops?
Yeah.
We won't get into that today. It's too big of a topic. I will say, though, like, as a gun owner, you need to be aware of what cops have and, like, what
they'll fuck you up.
They'll fuck you up, and they're really quick to shoot people, and it's because of shit like this.
Yeah.
Which, you know, right or wrong, we're not going to say, but
and that's then what it is. You can also do the whole thing, like, we should defund the police. The same thing will always happen if you defund the police. It'll be, as soon as there's no more cops, the rich people will pay for their own private security, which will be their police force, and then poor people won't have police.
Yep.
So it's fine to have police, and sometimes they help, sometimes they don't. It doesn't really matter. You just got to learn to deal with it.
You got to take care of yourself, which is what we always say in this podcast. Like, take care of yourself, and then just be aware of what's around you.
It's okay to hate police. It's okay to love police. Either way, just know they're going to have more people than you, and they're going to have more guns than you. And ever since the North Hollywood shootout, you didn't have a chance. And you're fucked, and do not fight the police.
This is one of the only times in America.
You probably listen to them. They're pretty cool.
This is one of the only times I can think of in American history. There's like a select few other times, but this is like a big one where the cops were
outgunned.
They were completely outgunned.
Yeah.
Like, they did not have the tools to fight these bank robbers. So the other thing I expect to get comments like this, and I've heard people say this stuff before, is like, well, the solution isn't to arm the police more, it's to take guns away from the bad guys. And that's a fair point, but let's talk about that. So Emil and Larry were bank robbers, right?
Yeah.
They were rich bank robbers.
Yeah.
And they were both felons.
Yeah.
They had both been to prison before.
Had illegal guns.
So as a felon in America, it's a federal law, you are not allowed to own firearms. You will never pass a background check.
I know lots that do.
You cannot legally get a gun. So Larry and Emil got their guns illegally from straw man purchases and then also smuggling guns from other countries and stuff.
Yeah, I'm the straw man. Oh, the Remedia thing paid off in the end.
Yep.
Speaking of that, since we're supposed to talk about other stuff, but talking about how people can just buy guns like that and stuff.
Yeah.
I did have a buddy who messaged me, and he knows who he is. He listens to the pod. And he asked, what should I carry in my truck? Like, what do you think? And he already carries every day.
Yeah, okay. So
I told him, don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
I want to finish my thought, like, last thing about the North Hollywood stuff, and then we'll move on. The fact that these bank robbers got machine guns and body armor, like, all of it was illegal.
Yeah.
And they had killed people. Yeah. And, like, so when there's a will, there's a way.
It didn't stop it.
That it did not. No, none of these laws. And they passed a bunch of laws before and after this too to like stop bad guys from getting guns. And they just always do.
They're still going to get a gun.
They're always going to. So the solution is actually to arm yourself. And like if you're pro police, then make sure they got good stuff too. But like, yeah, like they were going to get this stuff whether it was illegal or not.
You can get a gun even if you're like the worst felon.
Yeah, and these guys were. They had been to prison for years and killed people. And like that was on the book, not the murder part, but like the bank robberies were on the books. They had no business getting guns. Oh, last thing, from 1994 to 2004 was the assault weapons ban, the federal assault weapons ban.
Yeah, because of
so,
this.
So even if these guys were the most upstanding by the books guys in the world, they weren't legally allowed to own rifles like this.
Automatic rifles, yeah.
Well, not just automatic, but semi-automatic ones too were banned.
Really?
In the assault weapons ban of 94 to 2004.
Damn.
You could not own semi-automatic rifles, like an AR-15 or an AK.
Damn.
So this was the least armed that the populace had ever been in America, and they were completely...
Biggest shooting.
Yeah, it's the biggest event. So like things that overlap, the Columbine High School shooting, the North Hollywood shooting, 9/11, all this stuff happened during the assault weapons ban.
If you take guns, people go crazy.
I'm not necessarily saying that like if the assault weapons ban wasn't passed, I'm not saying like 9/11 wouldn't have happened or Columbine wouldn't have happened, but like...
9/11 definitely didn't matter.
There was no guns in 9/11, but... The point I'm making is that, like, crazy shit with, like, mass casualty events and, like, public...
Still gonna happen.
It's gonna happen regardless, so you need to arm yourself. But, I'm sorry, Case, I changed topics, but, car stuff. So...
Yeah, so basically he carries every day. What he said was, like, should I carry, like, a long gun in my... Like, an AR or something in my car?
Yeah.
And I just told him no. And the reason why is because, what are you, fucking John Wick? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
You're not gonna, like... I mean, when are you gonna pull this AR out? If there's a mass shooting, are you running in to stop it?
I don't think so. I mean, is this like a short-barreled rifle, or is this like a full-length, like, is this like a 16-inch carbine? What are we talking about?
Because yeah, which I think is what he was asking. Like, should I get a mid-size? And it's like,
no. It's still too big.
Yeah, just have a handgun, and then your goal with your handgun that you're carrying is to get back to your fucking car and get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
You're not going back to get the long gun to go back in the fight.
For sure. Well, you got to think about, like, what situation are you going to be, like, in your car where you need a gun?
Yeah.
The only time you would want a long gun is, like, and this is very rare.
It was kind of like a road rage question.
Oh, okay. Let's talk
about
that.
That's what I'm saying. Is it, like, you don't even want this fucking gun in there for road rage.
Yeah, dude. So let's talk about, like, if you carry already and you're driving your car, you've got a gun on you right now.
Yeah.
Right? So you don't need to keep a gun in your car if it's on your person. That's the best place to have it.
Yeah. Nothing that ever happens in traffic should ever involve a gun anyways.
Yeah. So, don't, like, have road rage.
Unless, like, someone else has road rage and shoots at you and they're, like, chasing you, drive away as fast as you can. But don't even shoot back, I guess, until they, like, there's times whenever people, like, will be in a road rage accident and they get home and there's a bullet hole in their car they didn't even know.
This happened to someone I know, but he was kind of a stupid guy. He got into a road rage incident, and this guy carries a gun. And so he, like, was in a road rage incident, and the other guy who was, like, fighting with him was, like, signaling to him, like, hey, follow me, buddy. Like, I'm going to fuck you up. Come here. Let's fight.
Yeah.
And this guy that I know walked over there. And this, like, redneck guy in a truck who he's fighting with pulls out a stupid Taurus whatever, like a cheap handgun, doesn't point it at him, but gets it out and goes, boy, if you ever do that again, I'm going to fucking kill you. And, like, says all this stuff, right? And this guy I know, like, put his hands up and was like, all right, my bad, sorry. Went back to his car. And, like, both these people had loaded guns.
Yeah.
And it didn't escalate further, thank God. But, like, how fucking dumb is this guy I know?
To walk over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when you leave.
Why would you ever...
No one who's ever in road rage, like, wants to talk it out.
No.
They're just going to call you an idiot, call you a slur, and then show you their gun and drive off. Or chase you and hit you with their car.
I was going to say best...
Even if they don't have a car. Or even if they don't have a gun, they still have a car, which is a fucking weapon.
Best case scenario, that ends with people yelling at each other.
Yeah.
Worst case, someone dies. Like, don't fuck with that.
Or you brandish your gun like an idiot because you're scared, and then you never can have own guns again whenever they report you.
Yeah.
You, like, can't own guns if you brandish it for wrong reason. They take them away pretty good. I mean, we just talked about how criminals are going
to
get them anyway.
If you're found guilty in court and you're guilty of a felony, then you're not allowed to have guns. But if you commit a crime or like you're accused of committing a crime, the cops will take that specific gun and it'll be evidence. So you can't get it back for like fucking 2 years or whatever. It's horrible.
Concealed carry, take it away.
Yeah, it's horrible. Bad time.
Yeah.
Cops can just take your shit.
So this guy was like, what should I do? And we were like, so always keep your gun on you. Never, if you carry a gun with you and you like put it in your car, unless you have a job, wherever you have to leave it. And if you have a job like that, you probably shouldn't take it anyways. Or you can buy a safe that goes in your car.
Yeah.
But the safe's going to get stolen too, probably. Unless it's like really bolted down. You'd have to impress me. Like, I'd have to see it and see that no criminal is going to get in there, but I think they'll still fucking try.
The basically the end of the day is like you should have a gun on your person whenever you can.
Yeah, and imagine any car or any gun that's in your car, it's gone when you get back. Just imagine that.
Well, this is just life advice in general, but you really shouldn't keep anything in your car that you'd miss.
Yeah.
Cuz breaking a car window is really easy.
Yeah.
And also like I don't know if you guys have ever reported anything stolen out of your car before, but the cops
you're fucked.
They're like, what do you want us to do?
Like, what do you think we should do? Lock your car 6 hours ago?
Yeah, like, they can't do anything for you. So, like, if you get a gun stolen, it's a pretty big deal. Like, you have to report that to the ATF and stuff. Because, like, getting a gun stolen is, like, a big deal. Getting other shit stolen, like, if you lose, like, ammo or a holster or, like, fucking cash, like, that's none of that is a big deal.
Yeah. A gun is a big deal. Like, have extra mags in your car
that's fine.
But just imagine they're stolen. So you're going to lose about that much value, which, depending on your... Glock, it's going to be cheaper. If it's a SIG, it's going to be way more.
Yeah.
SIG mags are fucking $50 each.
So what gun should you have in your car, if anything? Your gun on you. And if for some reason you can't do that, then you should get one of those like magnetic holsters that attaches to your car. And then when you're done driving for the day or you get where you're going, keep it on you or like in your house. Like don't leave it in your car. It's just a bad idea.
You're talking about like a magnetic holster you put on the frame underneath the car?
Yeah.
That could be a good idea.
I like those, but again, that is secondary to...
Just to know that wherever you park, though, you're going to be stepping out of your car, bending under your car, and sticking a magnet gun to the bottom of your car. Someone can watch that happen. They're going to know it's there. Or, like, people are going to watch you get under your car every day that you work with and be like, what the fuck's that guy putting under his car?
Well...
You're going to look like a goober doing it.
Put it, like, under the steering column. Not, like, inside your car still. Not on the outside.
Yeah.
So, like, I actually knew a guy one time, kind of an older guy, who had a gun and he carried it. And he had one of these holsters that, like, sticks to, like, the inside of your car. And he had it on the steering column on the right side of the steering wheel. And he was like, it's really accessible and, like, you can't see it from, like, the passenger side. And I was like, okay. What about, like, if a cop pulls you over? Is he going to be able to see it? Because he's standing up looking down at you in your car. Is he able to see it? And he goes, ah, probably not.
And then you looked and
went out there and checked, and I was like, yeah, you can definitely see a gun.
Looks like your car's got a gun in it.
I'd like to think that most cops would not freak out.
My biggest fear is to be, like, concealed carrying and I get pulled over by a cop. Because I'm like, there's a 50% chance I'm dead.
I will say... I've never had an incident where a cop has seen my gun or found... I've been pulled over when I'm carrying. That's happened.
Do you tell them?
No.
I mean, it's probably more dangerous to tell them.
Yeah,
they're going to escalate.
Don't be that guy who's like, I got a gun.
Yeah, don't tell
Don't
them
do that.
Yeah.
Just don't say anything. And if he asks you to... Okay, so again, this has never happened, but if you have a gun on you and a cop's like, get out of the car and like, I need to search you or whatever,
that's when you need to tell them.
You're like, hey, I'm going to get out of the car. I got both my hands on the steering wheel. Just so you know, I do have like... a handgun in my waistband
right now. You say it like really gay. I got a sick 365 Trigicon red optic. I got a flashlight Surefire. And it's carrying a... Make sure you give them your whole rundown.
Also, make sure to
trigger, no safety.
Put a fire department like patch in your like dashboard so the cops see it when they...
Dude, I got off on so many tickets when I had all the patches on my
dash. Marine Corps stuff? Yeah, I took them off.
Now there is no...
No mercy in this dojo.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I used to have a whole bunch of patches in my car and they'd be like, hey, I had the local police department because I might live next to a cop. Who knows? I had the local police department like patching there. Got off a couple times for that. I never was in any situation where I should have got a ticket anyways, but you know.
Yeah. Just still, good to have.
Yeah. But, so, synopsis, don't carry a long gun in your car.
Don't do that.
Unless you're willing to lose an AR. That's $2,000 or whatever. You don't need it.
And also, keep in mind that, like, guns that are stolen are very likely to be used in crimes. Like, if you look at homicide statistics, a lot of the guns that are used in murders and stuff are stolen handguns that later have their serial numbers scratched off. Like straw man guns are big. Stolen guns are another one. So like you just don't want to be that guy. Oh, and there is technically a law. If your gun gets stolen and then it's used in a murder, you are legally responsible for it.
Yeah.
So I don't
get in trouble for that.
Yeah, you can. I really don't know how unless commonly
they oppress you for that.
I really don't think there's a lot of that going around. Like if your gun gets stolen and someone kills someone with it, I don't know if they're gonna like drag you to court, but they can. So yeah. Don't fuck with it.
I have a what I carry has a holster that also has an extra mag in it.
Yeah.
So I will have a mag in and then a full mag with me, and I don't really care for it too much. And now that I bought that and have owned that for like a year,
yeah.
Whenever he asked me like, should I carry extra mag, I said, yeah, you can definitely carry extra mag if you want, but I would just like put it in a cargo pocket.
Yeah, that sort of thing I think is like you totally just put preference.
It in your back pocket. I was like, I never should have wasted money to get like a sidecar.
Yeah, I do think like there are situations like I know people. Or I don't know them personally, but I've heard of people keeping rifles in their car in case of like, you know, these are like the doomsday prepper types where they're just like, if I ever got to skip the town, that's not realistic. I wouldn't worry about that. But the other one I hear is like, well, if there's like a mass shooting, which is still unlikely, but you could find yourself in a situation where like there's a mass shooting and you do have time to like go to your trunk, put on like, some like a mag pouch. If you were at the
fucking Uvalde shooting, it probably would have came in a lot of handy.
It probably would have helped.
That's the guy who went in and stopped it, right?
Uvalde. I think I don't know if that's true. I've read that, but I don't know if I haven't confirmed it.
Yeah, well, we don't know if it's confirmed, but it wasn't. It was a cop.
It's believable.
It was a cop who
was
driving by and did it. But
also, Christian Craighead, our hero, who stopped a terrorist attack.
He had a lot of time before he went in, so it wasn't like it was in his car. He like kitted up and went in.
For sure, but there's something to be said there about like, what if you are in a spot where you need to kit up and go take care of a problem as a civilian or a cop or whatever?
If you want to do it, carry that rifle, but that's going
to
get stolen.
It's a risk reward of like, you've got to take precautions of like, should that gun be in a safe? Like, do I have enough time during this mass shooting to go unlock my safe, put my rifle on, do all this stuff? It's a risk reward thing. I'm not going to say never do it. But if you're like a civilian and you carry, I don't do it.
Yeah.
I'm just in this headspace where like if there's a mass shooting, I'm going to have to make do with my handgun.
Here's a good situation where you would do it.
Yeah.
If you're like a ranch, if you own a ranch.
Yeah, that's a great. Yeah.
You have like a ranch truck, you're a farmer, you drive around. If you want an AR in the back, shoot a coyote or something that's fucking with your herd. Like that's always a good idea. But I mean, I don't know. Where we live. And where this guy lives and stuff, it's a metropolitan-style area that we're doing this in. So I've had my car broken into plenty of times, and I just know, like, no matter what, it's going to get stolen. I would say, like, a good ideal if you want to have a gun on you at all times and you don't want to carry is buy, like, a shitty-ass little Ruger that's loaded at all times. You can put it in your glove box or whatever. And every time you open your glove box, give a cop your fucking insurance, you're going to probably die. But that'll be an option. I don't think, like, long guns or PCCs or subcompacts or anything is an actual real problem besides outside the YouTube world wherever people want to show you how cool their F-150 is that's got a fucking, oh, look at this. And then, like, because of that, they've invented guns that we don't need, like the Flux Raider.
Yeah, well, I was going to talk
about Flux Raider is the perfect PCC for a car.
It's so not.
It's a stupid ideal, and that's what you just don't need to fall for gimmicks. So if you go watch a video, and there's always like a retired Green Beret, and he's like, I got a fucking long gun, a shotgun, and I got my concealed carry, and then I got 6 tourniquets in the back, so if there's a 19 car pileup, I'll shoot them all, and then I'll fucking tourniquet all of them.
Dude, the one that annoys me is I saw Lucas T-Rex Arms. He had an entire video about like, if you keep a long gun in your car, like, here's how fast you should be able to get ready and stuff. And
he always trains it in his videos, too.
Yeah.
He, like, gets out of his car, puts his kit on, then picks up his gun, then he starts running to the target. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to save the world.
Which, I like the concept of that, like I said. Like, there are people who have done that, and it's, like, a really good thing. So, like, that's a good thing to know how to do. But Lucas annoys me because, like, he went to a shooting competition where you have to throw a kettlebell. It's called a Casarda drill.
Yeah.
And he complained. He's like, this is not realistic. And the kettlebell, he like did so bad at this.
Training to go fucking running gun.
But it's also like, dude, you should be able to throw a kettlebell. Because, obviously there's not going to be a shooting where you have to like throw a weight in the middle of it.
Lucas
would
fuck up a marathon.
I don't.
That's what his body type is.
Well, he's really weak. Yeah. Like, because he couldn't throw this kettlebell for shit. And it's like, the point is, like, to train to shoot when you're tired. And I am annoyed by the fact that he couldn't recognize that as this guy who trains for these really niche situations, yeah. right? He should have. But
anyway. If you got the money to spend and you, like, want to stop an active shooter or something and all that stuff, or you're just scared as fuck, or just as long as you're not, like, an angry driver and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's... If you're
an angry driver, dude, like, do not be putting all this shit in your car.
I will say, personally, like, I started carrying a gun when I was 19.
Yeah.
And it was legal at the time. You can't do that anymore, unfortunately. You'd have to be 21 now. But when I started, I was 19. Can still carry.
Yeah.
And I'm a pretty chill dude now, but I think a lot of young men have problems with, like, their temper.
Yeah.
And I was. Like, I wouldn't say anger problems, but I would lose my temper every once in a while. And I think the big difference is that I never got in, like, fights over it.
Yeah.
I would, like, say shit. I would, like, argue with people, but I would never get in fights. And then as soon as I started carrying a gun, that immediately stopped.
If you think, yeah, it, like, does also slow. But also, if you're a person who has anger issues and you think, like, you can't fucking control your rage or whatever, and, like, you get so mad one day, you pull out your gun, like, shoot a fucking hole in your wall, maybe you shouldn't own a gun. Maybe you should just train martial arts or something. Go punch a hole in your wall, buddy. Yeah.
Well, that's also really
good.
Grow
up a little bit.
Channel that anger into something productive. Like, Brazilian jiu-jitsu is, like, a really good thing to any martial art, like Kay said. Funnel that anger into something that you can use for a good purpose and to defend yourself. But then, yeah, Case is exactly right. Like, you need
as
to be...
As a man, you have to understand, like, if you've ever done something so fucking stupid where you're, like, breaking shit or something like that, you have to realize you have to get your anger under control. Maybe owning a gun and carrying it every day is not for you until you figure it out. Because I know I definitely was an angrier person, and by the time I started carrying a gun, I definitely calmed down a lot.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've definitely been to Kyle and punched a hole in the wall about something stupid and then realized I'm a retard.
Which, again, a lot of guys do that.
Can't I carry a gun when I did it.
I don't think, like, you're not a bad person if you have anger management problems or just a temper in general. Like,
you just have to fucking...
You have to become...
Anger manage it.
Yeah. You just, like, when you have a gun, you got to be a Zen master. You have to really just have this mindset of, like, it's all good. This guy can call me a pussy to my face. He can call me a bitch. I'm not going to shoot anybody over it.
Yeah. Oh, we did have that situation happen.
I have been.
Yeah, me and you had that situation.
Yeah.
The incident.
We've had that. You want to talk about that?
No.
Okay. I'll tell a different story, but there was one time I was standing in line at a restaurant. It was a really busy place, and I was actually working at the time, and I had a gun on me.
Yeah.
And there was this black dude, and I guess I was, like, in his way, and I didn't realize. I was just a stupid kid, just kind of standing in the way, you know?
Yeah.
And he didn't say anything, but he, like, pushed me because I was in his way, and he's like, these dumbass white people, like, fuck you. Like, he was, like, he was being super mean.
He called you a racist slur.
Hey, I mean, whatever, you know? But, like, I saw that, and everyone around me was like, hey, you can't say that. And I just didn't say anything because I'm packing. I don't want to fight this guy. Yeah. He's also huge, so I'm not going to mess with him. But he, like, flipped me off and then, like, went to go do, like, he's getting a drink or something, and I was in his way.
Yeah.
And then he left. And there was, like, if I was younger and that guy was half the size he was, I would have probably yelled at him.
Yeah.
But.
And then it could have turned into a whole thing.
Yeah. But I had a gun on me, and I was like, if I know, like, you have the power to, like, kill somebody with that gun, which I'm not going to do. Not over that. That's stupid.
Yeah.
So it really didn't even bother me. But I was just like, you know, if I was younger and dumber, I probably would have, like, said something, which is also not smart.
I like how we said without the incident that we're not allowed to talk about.
We're not talking about it.
Yeah. We're not allowed to talk about it. But then after we said that, I realized I have, like, 6 incidents like that. And there's about 6 people who listen to this podcast who have asked when I'm going to talk about the incidents. And we can't talk about any of these incidents. We will, like, slowly release these incidents. But
years from now.
There's about 6.
Oh, dude, I had one recently. I got to be careful.
Every single person who I've had an incident with, too, by the way, because most of them are gun related.
Yeah.
All listen to the podcast. Fuck. And they always think it's about them. I'm like, oh, no, you don't know how bad it is. You don't know how many incidents we've had.
We're averaging an incident every, like, 4 months at this point. Like, we have a lot.
And it's not like.
We're not troublemakers. I mean.
Yeah, there's not like we're hurting anybody with guns or brandishing guns
no,
or anything.
No, we're not doing
it's
anything
like incidents
illegal.
That you literally shouldn't talk about.
Yeah.
Most of them not my fault.
Dude, I. Oh, man.
One of them at least my fault.
I'm not going to
shout
name
out
this.
The boys.
I'm okay telling, like, part of this one because I bought ammo from a lot of people recently.
Oh, yeah.
So if you bought ammo, like if I bought ammo from you, I'm not talking about you.
Yeah.
But I bought ammo from someone recently, who is the dumbest motherfucker I've ever met.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't give away too many details other than I gave this person an address and then they met me at the wrong address in the wrong town. And I was like, where are you at? And he's like, oh, I thought you meant this other town. I'm like, nope, the zip code is the same.
But he had the 556, so you had to go.
He gave me such cheap 556.
Yeah.
And then I asked him beforehand, I was like, hey, does it have steel in it? Because I can't shoot steel at an indoor range, which is where I go most of the time.
Yeah, it was all steel.
And he goes, oh, no, it's all normal brass. And I go, okay. And then I got there, and it's green tip. And I go, hold on 1 second. And I get a magnet. And I put the magnet up to the tip of the round.
Yeah.
And of course it's steel ammo.
Magnetic. And I just gave you green tip. So you're like the fucking green, you're fucking US military.
Green tip master. So dude, this the funniest thing happens. So I put the magnet up to it, right? And it sticks. And this guy, I shit you not, he goes, I didn't know brass was magnetic.
Oh, hell yeah. This guy was great. You should have lowered the price for that comment.
I was like, dude, why do you have ammo? You, how did you drive here? You're so dumb.
I didn't know brass was magnetic.
What an idiot, dude.
That guy's the goat.
Oh, so funny.
Hell yeah.
I don't, like, because that's a dumb person, right? But, yeah, like, he's giving me a really good deal, so I don't want
to
be too mean.
Is he going to listen to the pod?
I hope not.
Is he one of those people who might find it?
Yeah.
Oh, damn, that's bad.
He might.
Well, you're not that dumb. Let's save it real quick. Let's save it. No, he's not that dumb, and he's a good guy.
Yeah, dude.
And he gave you a good deal, and...
And you want to come shoot with us
maybe
sometime?
Brass is magnetic.
Well, actually, I haven't taken a magnet up to my fucking pipes in my house. Maybe there's some magnetic crap in there.
It's copper.
Okay, no, mine are PVC. I don't have copper piping.
Oh, yeah, that's much better than brass. PVC. What would brass be? You're fucking some doorknobs and fucking...
I don't know. Well,
no one uses... Well, maybe copper piping.
Well, you know that PVC can be magnetic.
Oh, nice. Yeah, when there's metal in it.
When you put steel in it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Holy shit, that's a lot of fucking green tip you got now.
I do have a lot of green tip now. I mean, I don't tell people what I have. I don't have nothing. You can't have it.
Yeah, 556 pod coming soon.
Oh,
after
dude.
After we drop rounds.
I do want to have a special on the AR-15. Talk about nothing but the AR.
Hey, stay tuned. We might learn about the most known gun ever.
Yeah, the famous one that everyone
school
knows
shooter
about.
Special.
There's a lot of misinformation about the AR-15, and I kind of know a little bit about it, so I might talk about it. But, okay, we talked about car gun. Hopefully we answered your question, car gun guy.
Yeah. If you want to be a hero and you got the money, just imagine all that stuff's gone when you get back.
Yeah, and if you're okay with that, keep whatever you want.
There's about a 2% chance that maybe you'll stop something and you'll be a hero. Which, and then they'll take that gun anyways.
Yeah.
They're always going to take the gun.
They're going to take your gun. But can you be a hero versus will it get stolen? Who knows?
Yeah.
So I want to talk about, we went shooting today. We usually shoot before we record.
Yeah, cool guy of the week.
I got to talk about cool guy of the week.
Cannot go to the range without getting a cool guy of the week.
Dude, okay,
it's literally empty range too.
Yeah, so today is Monday night. There's a big, like... Both our local football and baseball team are playing tonight.
Oh, no, they fucking pinpointed us.
No. Well, everyone's playing. A bunch of teams are playing today. What?
They don't know what day this came out, so it's Sunday.
My point is, there's like...
Change the day.
There's two really big sports events that everyone cares about in town.
No one's there. There's one car there.
Yeah, no one's there. There's literally two other people at the shooting range.
So we're like, oh, we're not going to get a cool guy of the week.
Yeah, we're like, we'll finally have no cool guy of the week. It'll be quiet. Dude. The RSO was our cool guy of the week.
Yeah, first time we've seen him, too.
The range safety officer who works at the shooting range was a moron. I hate this guy.
Yeah.
Definitely cool guy of the week. I'll start off with the really annoying thing, which is we're shooting with a shot timer because we might be training for something.
Yeah.
We're training with a shot timer, and he, like, does a whistle that sounds like a door creaking open. And
which
I was,
is
like,
the sound of the shot timer starting.
Yeah. And it doesn't quite sound the same, so I don't know what he's... I think he's just like a weird old man, so I just ignore it.
Boomer.
And he comes over in the middle of us training, and he taps me on the shoulder, and he goes, are you getting it mixed up, those two beeps? And I look at him, I realize he's making a joke to me. Like, he's interrupting our training to make like a weird old man joke and like give me like a little shoulder nudge, you know?
Yeah.
About like how he's whistling and how funny that is to him.
But everybody comes up to me because I'm too nice, so you got fucked.
I guess so. And I was like, I'm trying to be nice to this guy because you just got to be nice at the shooting range. But I was like, that's funny. And then I go back to shooting.
Yeah.
And then later, he's like cleaning up brass with a broom, right? And I'm in the middle of shooting and he pushes brass, not once, but a few times.
He's pushing it at you.
He's pushing it into my feet while I'm shooting. Like, and empty brass gets in my shoe, like in between my sock and the inside of my shoe, gets in my foot from him pushing it at me. while I'm shooting.
He's like, hey, clean this up, retard.
And I quickly unload my gun and very audibly go, okay, we'll clean this up to Case. And he has the gall, the audacity to be like, oh, don't worry about it. You can get it later. I'm like, you fucking dickhead. You're pushing shit into my feet while I'm shooting a gun.
Was it hot? Was it hot?
No, it wasn't.
Damn, I mean, it would have been so much funnier if it was.
I mean, it could have been. He didn't know. He didn't check it. He didn't lick his finger and touch it.
There's also four other ranges that he could have been on.
Yeah.
Just in ours.
He's just picking on us for no reason. I don't think he's being mean. I think he's just stupid.
He also, like, looked like he was... There's a older lady there who shot real good.
Yeah, she was really good.
Yeah, she shot slow and good. You know? She actually trains with her gun.
Right.
And he just, like, kept talking to her. And she did not seem interested.
I thought they were friends when he first started doing that. But then I came over afterwards, and he was like, so what's your name? Like,
he's hitting on her.
Yeah, he was, like, hitting on this lady at the shooting range, which... This is a personal pet peeve of mine. We have, like, a weirdly large female audience.
Yeah.
I don't, like, if you're at the gym, don't hit on girls. I hate that.
Yeah.
And if you're at the shooting range, definitely don't hit on girls.
Yeah.
They're there to, like, protect themselves and get better at something. They're not there to get hit on by creepy fucking hillbillies. Yeah. So, like, leave girls alone at the shooting range.
That's had a couple girls shoot, and they've shot better.
Yeah, I mean,
But they've always asked us, like, questions. Like, we didn't go to them first.
The only time I've talked to a girl at the shooting range, it wasn't, like, to hit on them.
You were doing reloads, and the girls were like, how do you...
Yeah.
And you showed them how to load their gun.
Right, which if anyone ever wants to talk to me, like, I'll be nice and hang out.
Then we left because of them. Because they were shooting so bad, and we were the ones who showed them how to reload their gun.
Yeah.
So we were like, they need this.
We're like, we're responsible for this.
Start shooting the ceiling and shit.
Oh, shit. So the other thing... this is the last thing this RSO did. This is like the primary thing that makes him cool guy of the week to me. He recited FUD lore to us and then fucked up my target, which I hate. I hate when they do this.
What was the FUD lore?
So the FUD lore,
he said the lead thing?
Yeah. So we're at an indoor shooting range and we have our targets on the ground. Yeah. It's so funny. I know. Fucking stupid shit. We have our targets on the floor flat.
Yeah.
So they don't get wrinkled. And they're in front of us past, like, the little counter. So when you want them, all you do is lean over and pick them up. No one's going to step on them. They're past the bench where you shoot.
Yeah.
And they're flat on the ground, so they stay flat. So that way when you hang them up, they're not all, like, folded and wrinkled.
Yeah.
So it's a flat target to shoot at. He stops us shooting. He calls a ceasefire, just for us. And he picks up my target off the ground. And he goes, when you fire a gun, there's a bunch of... gunpowder and lead that'll fall and form like a little like film on the front of these on the surfaces, so that way it'll become super slippery,
like a skateboard, like the piece of paper would be. By the way, lead is sticky.
Yes,
so it's more sticky now. Lead is sticky on the ground.
And also,
you ever walk around an indoor range, your fucking shoes are like,
yeah,
like stuck to the ground.
It's sticky because there's lead everywhere. and also we're shooting on like basically epoxied like concrete, like flat smooth concrete, and I've never seen anyone slip and fall at a range because it's sticky.
There's no way stepping on that. We should test that next time we go.
I want to.
FUD lore will be solved next week. We're gonna fucking put a target on the ground, try to slide on it, and so probably rip the target.
He takes my target and folds it in half, and
he
then
rolled it up like a scroll.
He folds it and then rolls it up like a scroll. So now it's doubly fucked. There's a big crease in the middle of it, and it's rolled out so that when we try to hang it up, it tries to curl back up like we're fucking reading Art of War by Sun Tzu.
Yeah. The only thing that paid off was the guy forgot to charge us for the ammo we bought.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of good fucking... bought 50 rounds, and so that should be like $50, and he was like, okay, total's $3.
$3.
I didn't even realize until he hit the round range. I was like, wow, what a fucking idiot.
I noticed he didn't ring it up, and I was like, all right.
Dantha FUD, wasn't he carrying a 320?
Yeah, he had a SIG 320,
yeah,
which I don't care about. 320s are fine.
It's like the most hated handgun on the internet for some reason.
Yeah, there's a myth about the 320.
We won't even fucking talk about that, because you're not an idiot, you know that's not true.
That's
but I mean, like,
320 is a fine gun.
Everybody hates it. What's up with that? It must suck.
Because it's a military gun. That's the big thing. Like, people, no matter what military gun the military adopts, people are like, they should have done this or that.
Yeah.
People, the military adopted the 320.
And Beretta.
That one actually.
Well, apparently they were good at the time.
They were good in the 80s.
Yeah.
But in 2010, no, it sucked. Yeah. Okay, so that's cool guy of the week. That RSO made me so mad. He's supposed to be there to like make sure we're safe, and he's like fucking up my range day.
I'm talking to you, flirting.
Yeah.
The time of his life.
Leave that lady alone. She's training for something.
He also is like pre-cleaning out the brass so that he could get out of there early.
Yeah.
Which, like,
don't be in a rush, dude.
Don't be RSO. if you want to fucking leave early.
Yeah.
We got a rack of the week coming up.
Rack of the week, everybody.
Yeah.
So this is one kind of special.
Yeah.
I like this one a lot. So first of all,
listen to how loud this safety is. Damn, that's long.
So I'm gonna actuate the safety. Safety's off right now. Turning the safety on. Now I'm gonna turn the safety off.
One of these racks of the week, we should just ND.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
How about right now?
Yeah.
I got a magazine right here somewhere.
Go grab a maggie.
So I don't have a magazine in this gun. I'm gonna clear the action real quick. Oh, that's a rack of the week.
Sounds like a gun.
It is a gun. We'll do it one more time, real close to the camera or the microphone. And a fast one under the bottom.
That sounds like a big ass spring is in there.
There is a big spring in here.
What gun has a big ass spring?
And what gun has a safety that's really loud?
Well, that's golly. Weird.
What is it? What is this gun? This is an AKV.
Yeah, obviously.
Obviously, it's an AKV.
You thought it was an AK, you fucking idiot?
It's an AKV.
Small AK.
Do you know, okay, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you know what the V in AKV stands for?
Vagina.
Yeah, it's an AK vagina. The V stands for Vichyaz, which is the name of the guy.
That's a vagina in Russian.
Yeah, it means big wet pussy in Russian. Cardi B made a song about it. She made WAP, right? I hate that word because I'm Italian. And
Sean had to make sure he knew the black rapper girl who made the song about the pussy. That's Cardi B, right? It might not even be Cardi B.
Who? I don't know then.
Name another black rapper. Sean doesn't have a cool guy.
What about Rihanna? Did she make rap? What did she do?
She's a hot one.
I know she's got a big butt.
At least she got a big butt.
Anyway, wet ass pussy. Sounds like WAP, which is a slur. Anyway, I got an AKV here, which is the American version of the PP19 Vichyaz.
Yeah, and this has a lot of great features that normal AKs don't have.
Yeah.
That's great. So, like, the dust cover doesn't just completely come off.
Yeah, which is really cool.
It has a bolt sent home, an AR.
The bolt locks to the rear on your last round. Mm-hmm. A last round bolt hold open feature, which most AKs don't have, so that's really nice. It has a bolt catch on it. Since it locks to the rear.
Yeah.
So you can, instead of running the action when the gun's empty, you can just run that bolt home. So this is what that sounds like.
Actually, I had a buddy who said, like, how do you get your bolt release to work, like the button?
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's pushing it. You have to push it down.
You have to push it down. So an AR-15...
Well, I mean, it might be stuck because it's really light. I went and tried it a couple times. So you might just have a bad one.
You tried it and it was weird?
No, he lives in another state. And okay. He bought it because I told him it was great.
Yeah.
But, like, he said his bolt release doesn't send it home, and it's really stiff. And I was like, what? And then I went and tried it, and I was like, do you push it up or down? And he said he pushes it down. He's done it before.
Oh, you know what I bet? I don't want to assume this guy's dumb. Was he doing it with the magazine still in the gun?
Oh, I don't. Well, if you are listening to this guy, and you were doing it, you can't do it with a mag in.
Yeah, so the follower on a magazine is actually what... What's that?
Pretty sure it was while he was shooting.
Oh.
Hopefully it was.
Yeah, I mean, I hope. So if you want to do, this goes for basically any firearm, to press the bolt catch on rifles that have their bolt locked to the rear, you have to do it with either a loaded magazine or no magazine in the gun, because if you do it with an empty magazine in, the follower is going to put a lot of resistance and it's going to feel really stiff and weird.
Okay.
You can still do it. It's just going to be abnormally stiff.
So hopefully that helped fix your situation.
Yeah.
We got another guy on here whose AR trigger doesn't work. Fucking start Allen keying it until it does. But
yeah, you got to fix that shit.
Yeah. Your tension springs off or something.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with that.
Triggers are the worst to have problems with.
My favorite thing about the AKV, I really love the safety.
Yeah.
Because it's got a big, fat, extra flat surface right by where your pointer finger is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They fucking added that.
Yeah. So you can flick the safety on and off.
While you're holding the handle.
Yeah. You don't have to move your hand. You can just flick your finger up and the safety's on and off, which is a great feature. Most AKs don't have that.
Here's another thing that if you're still on the pod and you're listening and you're our friends who message us all the time and you have an AR, do not tell me someone else built it for you. They just put together pieces. They didn't build the fucking AR. They put it together.
Yeah.
They Legoed a fucking gun for you. You didn't build it.
Also,
don't tell me you built it. You bought parts.
If you're new to guns and have internet access, you can build an AR.
Dude, there's like maybe if they bought like a crazy kit, but it's literally like putting together IKEA furniture, and if you have friends who can't put together IKEA furniture, you know how fucking dumb they are.
If you buy AR parts, most of them come with the tools you need to put them together.
Yeah.
Most of them.
That Magpul, like, super wrench can literally put together, like, a whole AR.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. The one that goes on all the parts that you need to torque to spec.
And also, not only should you do that because it helps you get more familiar with your gun, and, like, that'll help you get better at, like, loading your gun, clearing malfunctions, unloading it, stuff like that. But also, it's just, like, it's really fun.
Well, they always say it like it's impressive. They're like,
I built this gun. Yeah. Not,
well, they say they built it. They're like, yeah, I got this from my buddy. And he built it for me. And it's like, bro, first off, I hope you didn't pay them to build it for you. Yeah,
no, should not do that.
And I, it's cool that it's, like, together now and all that stuff, but, like, ARs are, like, pieced together.
I've built...
They mastered it.
I've built, quote-unquote, again, we're using that term loosely. I've built, like, 4 ARs, but, like, I'm not, like, a gunsmith. It's not hard to build ARs.
Yeah, and I keep getting buddies of mine who have slides they want milled.
Yeah.
And they're, like... Talking about how they just want to buy another gun.
What?
Why? Just people who mill slides do it for like $100 usually.
Yeah, just do it.
Send your slide away and then you got an RMR cut. Look up if your gun can get one.
Yeah.
And then send it to a reputable guy. There's so many guys who just like do it in their garage and you really can't fuck it up whenever you're doing a million Glock slides.
Right. And they again, might. If you've got, I mean, if you've got enough money that you can just buy another gun and not worry about it, then good for you. I would probably just use something I already had, but. Yeah. That's me, personally.
But, like, just, like, an RMR cut's not that crazy
expensive. No, it's totally fine. It's pretty reasonable.
And then, what's some other things that everybody keeps messaging me about? People keep telling me Magpul fucking mags aren't good. You guys are fucking stupid.
P-mags? They said P-mags aren't
good? They're saying metal mags are better.
What? Who's saying this? Are these Marines?
Just dumb fuckers. Like, they're like, so yes. Well, they're plastic mags. Like, aren't they less reliable?
No.
It's like, no, they're fucking...
Dude.
They're better in every way.
Plastic, I mean...
There's a reason we switched to this.
Yes.
And it was, like, talking about, like, Glock mags specifically. They were, like, talking about how Glock mags are cheap plastic. And I was like, yeah, they're just better than metal mags in every way.
Do these guys have, like, a Gen 5 Glock? Like, I feel like the Blizzard guy was like, do you guys not have phones?
Someone told me, it's not... I got two buddies who said this.
Yeah.
One of them was smart. You know who you are. He helped me work on my car recently, and you listen to this pod. The other one, I don't think he listens to the pod, but he was, like, talking about getting his slide milled, and I was like, oh, you have a Gen 5? Or you have a Gen 4, so you can't put it on your Glock? And he was like, no, this is a Gen 5. I was like, that's not Gen 5. And then I looked at it, I was like, this isn't a Gen 5. It said Gen 4 on the side. It said GEN4.
Yeah.
And which, I was like, I showed him it. Also, the guy who helped me work on my car, I'm not talking about you know, because I didn't show you where it says it on the side.
Yeah.
I didn't look at his.
The difference between a Gen 4 and a Gen 5 is massive.
Yeah.
I think the biggest difference from the Gen 4 and 5 is the magazines.
Yeah, they're nicer.
The magazines are so much better.
Yeah.
On Gen 5.
Well, he was basically trying to be like, I did buy a Gen 5. I was like, did you fucking read your box? But or did you
pay $150 less? Because that's what the Gen 4s are.
He was like, yeah, I just got a Gen 5 that doesn't have an optics cut.
That's, oh my god. Ah,
and I was like, I think they all have optics cuts.
Oh, it hurts my brain to hear that.
I think that's like the thing that was very special about the Gen 5.
Well, there's tons of good stuff. The triggers
are
better.
Is there Gen 5s without optics cuts?
There are, yeah.
They're just super rare and no one buys them.
I don't know if you remember when I was buying my current Glock 47. I had a problem finding the 17s with MOS optics. Yeah.
But that's because all the cops bought them.
Everyone is buying them, yeah.
Yeah, because cops need dots. Cops need is dots.
Don't they know that I have to compete?
Yeah. These cops want dots, dude.
Cops want dots. That's the name of our new ice cream store that we're opening.
Dude, if you see a cop and he pulls up on you and he has a dot, you're going to fucking dome your ass.
Yeah, he's going to just make sure to wrap.
Have you had anybody giving you bad gun and... talks now? Everybody talks to me about it now because everybody listens to the pod.
Everybody
like sends me stuff about their guns.
I get horrible advice all the time. I talked to a guy recently who's like, I don't need 5.56 anymore because I switched to 308. And I was like, oh yeah, so you do like target shooting or whatever?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's my home defense truck gun.
Dude, everybody keeps talking to me about the SIG round too.
SIG
round? Like, you know 5.56 isn't that good anymore because they invented that new SIG round, the 6.8.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you got some? And they're like, no. I'm like, yeah, I bet you don't. Do you got a SIG? And they're like, no. I'm like, yeah, I bet.
Wait, were they saying 5.56 is bad now?
They're saying it's bad now because that 6.18 round came out. And yeah. I was like, you're a fucking idiot.
Seems to be working out pretty well for the IDF and the Ukrainian army.
I was like, dude, they don't. Nobody can fucking afford that.
No. Well, this is why.
There's some guys on the Instagram who were messaging me that.
Oh, yeah, about how better, how much 6.8 is, like, really great or whatever.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, it is great, but you can't get it, which is why it's not good for you.
Yeah, so this is how technology works, folks. Like, there's going to be a new thing that's better than other stuff, but it's not going to be very available until it becomes the new norm.
It has to, like, be in the military for, like, 10 more years, and then there's going to be...
Or 20.
Yeah, there's going to be, like, an excess of it, and then it'll be available, which is what 5.56 is.
Yeah, that's exactly what 5.56... Like, that's the number... That's why it's, like, so worth it. How much
6.8 cost a round?
I don't know, but I'm assuming over a dollar at this point. Or close. Yeah. Maybe not quite that much, but it's probably really expensive.
And it's the one that has the plastic... cartridge.
Well,
some of them.
Yeah, so there's actually three kinds.
Yeah,
there's a normal brass case one, mm-hmm. and then there's one that has the back half of it is like a hardened, I don't think it's steel, but it's like some other metal.
It's like a
tougher metal in the back, and then it's brass in the front, and then there's the plastic ones, which in my opinion, we'll probably have another topic about this in a future
cool,
episode,
but not that cool.
Plastic ammo is the future. I think, like, people sometimes will ask me in my personal life, like, what do you think the future of small arms is? And I say two things.
Plastic?
Plastic ammo. Like, caseless ammo and plastic ammo is, like, going to be a big thing. And then also, the optics that we have on our guns are going to get smaller and better.
Can you reload the plastic? Or is it just, like, one and done?
So, it's still a new thing. You can reload them, like, but it has to be a specific kind.
But, and then there's so much plastic. So no one cares about reloading
because that's the thing, is that you can reload them, but it's kind of like reloading steel, where it's just like, how much effort are you going to put into reloading steel ammo?
You can reload steel?
It's shitty, but you can.
Damn, that sucks.
So it's like plastic. I think eventually what's going to happen is it's going to become widely available enough that people are going to be able to 3D print their casings. Bullets? Yeah. Their casings,
that's why
at least.
They don't want
to
do it.
Not their projectiles and not their primers, but the casing. Yeah. You're going to be able to 3D print it. At that point, why would you ever reload?
I mean, you can go on YouTube and see all the shotgun shell stuff that everybody just does.
Which is crazy.
Because it's plastic on the outside, and then you put the wad and the cork.
It's like wax and plastic, yeah.
Yeah. And then everybody's put, like... That's, like, a great YouTube hole to go down if you're a gun guy, is, like, what people are just putting in shotgun shells and shooting, and what does what.
It's really cool to look at that.
Yeah, and there's, like, so many rounds that are better than slugs and all this stuff that people have invented, but they're, like, illegal.
And they're
just shooting them on YouTube.
I think the
showing their faces, shooting crazy ones.
This is like
the Ramsat one is crazy.
Is that the one with like the fish hooks in it or whatever that is?
No, this is the one where they put like 12 tungsten rods and then a Ramsat.
Oh, God, yeah.
The Ramsat is something that you're supposed to hit with a hammer. It shoves a nail in, but they put them backwards. So once it hits the target, it sets off. So you shoot it once, it flies. Once it hits the target, it shoots these tungsten rods even further in. And it's like, it costs so much to make. It's but like, it works so well.
It's like
they're called Rods of Gods if you want to watch it. Rods of God.
It's like explosive ammo with extra steps.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And tungsten's so strong.
Which is like, I'm trying to think of like when you would want that. I guess if you wanted to like...
Clearly to shoot gel targets on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
Like everybody does. Where do they keep getting these blocks? Where do they get that?
I'm not shitting on it because that's awesome and I would want to shoot. Like if you handed me that shotgun round, I would have it. But it's like, you know, we shot with a guy who had a really cool gun one time, and he's like, would you ever buy this gun? I was like, no. I'd want to have a friend who has it.
Oh, dude. Oh, I should tell him about the pod. He would love it.
Oh, you haven't told him about this?
No.
Get him on here.
Dude, he's great. Yeah, so basically he had a really cool gun, but it was a version of a 1911, and it was expensive, and he was like, so did you guys like it? And we were like, yeah, we like shooting it.
It's awesome.
He was like, would you ever buy it? Fuck no. And I was like, this gun's good for, like, if I had to hold down a... like pile of papers because it's so goddamn heavy.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's
heavy.
A little handgun.
It's a handgun that's fucking ridiculous.
We should have weighed how much it was. It's probably like half the weight of an AR and a handgun.
I would guess it's like 4-ish pounds.
It was also the fastest. Like, it's a secondary. It's a sidearm, and it was the fastest like retired sidearm that was.
Ever used by the
U.S. military. Yeah, so yeah. If you know what it is, message me and I'll tell you if you're right. But it's so funny because like the U.S. got a hold of it. They gave it to like kind of like a special forces unit. They used it for like
it's like
5 years and then they just switched to a Glock.
Yeah, which obviously.
Yeah, it was such a bad idea, but it was such a cool looking gun.
It shoots great. Yeah. Like, for fun, it's awesome, yeah. You know?
But it was such a done ideal. They should have bought the upgraded version of that. And, like, you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. I don't know. People are starting to use that as a duty gun, and I have mixed feelings about it.
Yeah, the duty gun, it doesn't work.
I don't really like it, but I'm sure that that's...
There's also a grand video about it, wherever it proved that it was not good.
It's not good as a duty gun. But I do think that, like, the full-size SIG, like the 320s, the Glock 17s, the M&Ps, like, those are all great duty guns, and they work really well. So I don't think you need to mess with that formula.
Yeah.
And also, they're pretty light in comparison.
I have no idea why they adopted that gun. And then it clearly didn't play out. And, like, it was cool to shoot it, but $2,000 for something that is so obsolete.
Yeah, I might get one day, especially because, like...
If you want to shoot again, I'd shoot again, though.
I would shoot again. I would want my own. It's just I really can't get over the hurdle of paying over $2,000 for a handgun. To me, that's just like a really tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
But
I don't know. And whenever I sent you the picture of it, you were like, holy fuck, we should definitely shoot that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could probably get him on. I'll text him.
You should.
I'm going to send him the podcast tonight.
Yeah.
I'll be like, what are you doing? We talked about you on this episode of the pod at the very end.
Maybe our first guest.
Yeah.
We got some other guests. We might have Sam Elliott on the show because...
Oh, fuck, yeah.
I got to call him and see what he's up to.
Here, call him.
Hey, Sam. Sam, are you there? Oh, shit, he's driving a truck full of Doritos right at us.
Oh, no.
Squibble Podcast, everybody. We'll see you next week.